Welcome back, everybody. This is Android App Addicts, episode 433. Podcasting live from our hometowns again. Glad to be here. My name is Eric Ardini, the manager, and I am here, just the two of us. Just the two of us. Dor and I. Dor, how you doing, brother?
Normal crazy is what I'm going to say. We just got past holiday weekend, Memorial Day here. I'll say everyone who served any country and felt they were doing a noble cause, I salute you, period. It's good to support your country, your people, your friends, your family. That's the highest honor I think I can think of, and you guys are better than me, so thank you.
Yeah, and if you got little kids and you're kind of, you know, bored, slightly hungover on the Monday of Memorial Day, take them out to a local service. I was not Father of the Year back when my kids were young enough to be influenced by me much, so I didn't take them. But I go to the services myself, and we throw some flowers into the river, and we go to the cemetery, and it's good for little kids to hear them gunshots. You know, when the honor guard shoots off the blank rounds. Just to let them know that, you know, there's still something behind these wars that we keep getting into, and the people who don't make it back, and sympathy for their classmates, you know, a little bit whose dad's not around like you are.
Yeah, and I'll say my father served in the Navy back in 69, 70, something like that, and my father-in-law was literally 30 years in the Corps. I make sure both of my kids understand, A, the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, which they both take very seriously, but secondly, that they know when to say thank you to their grandfathers, and, you know, it's appropriate, because if you say thank you to a veteran for Memorial Day, sometimes they get upset.
Right, that's uncouth.
I'm not dead yet!
You know. And I'm sorry, I'm not wearing a tie today. I just got to mow the yard, Dor, so if you need to dock my pay for not wearing the proper work attire, I understand.
No, we'll let some of the people who send emails in dock your pay.
Okay.
Because we got a bunch of them. So we have a whole bunch of emails, so I want to say thank you guys. We took off, I can't remember how long. Was it 2 weeks, maybe?
No, just a week. We took a week off just because I was traveling, and Mark had family stuff going on. So, the Thursday before that, I think I came live from a hotel room, if I remember right.
Right. Sounds right. Yep. Yeah. So Mark will be back. I know he's taking a break on Element Opie Geek Rant, where he's doing rehashing old content and putting a little bit of new stuff in there for a couple weeks. But he's trying to come back here at least, and I'm not forcing him to. Everybody deserves some time off, except of course if you're a podcaster on this network. If he wants time off, I'll let him have it.
So that means he's not a podcaster on this network?
I didn't say that. Oh. Okay. The first thing I want to talk about here really quick, Eric, it's not even an app.
Oh.
Okay. But no, first off, let's just do some really quick Android VR AR talk, because we were heated the last time that we did a show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the current, I'll just say this, to end what I was saying in the summarization, the current way they're doing VR, I don't think it's going to take off whatsoever. I don't think it's going to be popular. I don't think it's going to look anything like what VR is going to look like in 5 years. So I think for now, it's just a little niche thing. AR, I think, has a future. I don't know where, I don't know how. But in the last week, we brought up on the Mini PC show last night, we saw some different approaches to VR, mm-hmm. where they're backpack computers. And one of the things I thought, but I don't believe I said, was one of the things I don't like about the current VR situation is you wear this face sucker, and like 3 inches from your face, there's a device that is the battery, the processor, the RAM, everything. So it's a weighted object. Which is going to make it feel a little bit weird, which is also going to cause an extra strain on the head and neck to do everything. The backpack thing, I will say, makes me hesitate. It makes me say, well, if the only thing on your face is a screen, that might make it more, you know, usable, digestible. I don't know how you felt about it. Well, I do, but how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, unless you had like a banana-shaped lead counterweight strapped to the back of your head, it would feel just perfect, right?
And if you do, I'm sure you'll look perfectly fine.
Yeah. No, I didn't, you know, so I guess it was 2 weeks ago we talked about that, and I didn't even think of a backpack with an i7 and a killer graphics card and a battery that you want. Because that was my whole thing. Like, so I've used VR with a phone in the front. And yes, it's a little front heavy. You know, yeah, maybe you're not going to do 3 hours straight with it. But it was impressive, and it's a great effect. And it's if you get a decent phone in there, it's a good look. I mean, it looks, you know, the graphics are nice. That the part I didn't like about the other stuff is that you were tethered to a desktop PC, right, that's wired to, you know, that's sitting there. But the PC on your backpack, the PC backpack is a game changer when all you've got is just a little cord going around your ear to the screen up front. That could make it a lot better for gaming, a lot better. I mean, VR, yeah. I mean, you're not going to want to... The backpack full-size PC with a good graphics card and everything, I don't know. The backpack thing, you better make it so that you're not going to bounce it around too much and knock things loose, I guess, and make sure it's a little waterproof, so if you're caught in a you know, a little bit of a drizzle, you don't ruin everything.
Well, first off, was there a pun intended when you called it a game changer? I'm just
wondering. No, I'm not that good. I'm not that good.
But and two, if you guys want to look at them, all you got to do is do a Google search: MSI, HP. There's like one or two other companies. Yeah,
Asus, Zotac has got one too.
Yeah, Zotac, right. Just type in HP computer or HP VR backpack or MSI VR backpack, and you'll see it. And they weren't huge. The MSI one was definitely a little bit big. But in some of these games, I keep thinking you're playing first-person shooter games in VR, and you're probably in the military in the game, so a backpack adding to the physical thing might actually be beneficial kind of thing. So I still think Cardboard, Daydream, Vive, Oculus is all just huge piles of crap that's going to go nowhere. I think when VR is successful, I don't think it's going to be like anything that we see it today. I think a lot of companies are pushing a lot of money into it, and a lot of customers are going to push a lot of money into it. But I think we're in too early of a phase to actually. I'm not devoting my money to it.
No, it's for the early adopters, and those devices are fine for where we're at now. I think when you start to get, you know, we do a show called Mini PC Show, right? So there's these little computers. If you have that little PC only focused on doing a VR powered to your lenses in front of your eyeglass things, that, you know, if you don't have it doing anything but that, you could probably shrink the size and the heat down quite a bit, you know, if its only function is to do VR.
Well, I don't know, but then I also did send you a link on Monday. It was from Twit. The latest Twit was like, it was a 2-hour, 20-minute show, and this was like 2 hours, 7 minutes into the episode, where Leo talked about a Quora, I think it was, article by a guy who makes simulators for airlines for decades. And he wrote, I sent you the link to the audio where he was talking about it, where he was explaining why VR will never work.
Oh.
The human brain will never accept it, because your depth of field is never going to be correct, and your body's going to constantly reject it. And if you have to take off the headset and do anything heavily precise, like drive a car or something that entails actual hand-eye coordination, life or death, they said this will take some people 2 days after doing VR for up to an hour to get their bearings back.
Oh, so the AR. Is that what you're saying?
No, VR.
Oh.
After doing VR for an hour, it will take some people, not other people, up to 2 days to get their bearings completely back.
Well, when you said that about the depth perception, I was wondering, you know, then maybe the augmented reality, if you're, say, you're trying to drive a car, and you're trying to drive a car through a camera mounted on the corner of your if everything's augmented reality, if everything you're watching is not actual real, it's through the camera and then superimposed the picture, exactly what is there is being shown. But yeah, you wouldn't have the depth perception that you do in real life.
Right. And it's one of the things I don't know, and I don't know who that guy was, and I don't know how credible that guy was, but something about it rang some kind of truth to me. But the only constant I know is people will find a way if they really want it. And here's the kicker. If automated vehicles become a reality anytime soon, what percentage of people are going to need severely accurate hand-eye coordination in their daily task, except for doctors or, you know, somebody like that?
Yeah, and they're just going to be controlling a robot because they're more sterile than any human's going to be in the operating room anyway.
Yeah, or just program it. I didn't know if there was anything else you wanted to talk about that, Eric.
There was something, but I don't remember what it was. That's okay. I think we're good. I think we've covered it.
Okay, well then, to completely change the subject, here's the thing I was going to bring. It's not a game. It's not an app, but it is a phone / Android type of thing.
Okay.
Okay, it's MARUOS. MARUOS. Right now, it's only in private beta with the Nexus 5. Not the 5X, the Nexus 5.
Okay.
Remember Mark saying how if you're going to do something, you develop towards the Nexus 5.
Sure. Yep, you did.
Here is a ringing in third-party, independent, unknowing support of exactly what he said. When you do stuff, you like program towards a device like that. Well, these guys are programming what is essentially an Android ROM that when you connect it to your phone to a bigger screen, it becomes that magical Linux desktop or full desktop mode from your phone. This is the convergence that Ubuntu promised 3 years ago. This is what Windows has been promising now for almost a year, and nobody seems to be delivering on it, but these guys at least have a private beta out where you have your Android device, your Android phone, and when you connect your phone to a bigger screen, you will get a full, actual, factual Debian Linux desktop. I'm going to have to buy a Nexus 5. And right now, if you go to swappa.com, Podnuts' favorite place to buy used equipment, you can get a Nexus 5 unlocked, should work on any carrier, for as low as 120-ish. To maybe 150-ish if you really are really super picky about it. So I think I'm going to get myself a Nexus 5 here and try to join this beta because I want to experience this. I truly believe in some future, okay, AR is going to be real in the future doing some stuff. VR is going to be real in the future doing some stuff. 3D televisions will never exist. But I do think the idea of having a pocket computer that's a phone that when you do something, you then get a full desktop experience is in the future. I like the idea of this. I really, really, really do like the idea of this, and I really, really want to play with it badly.
Yeah, it's beautiful, Dor. Good find, man. I, as you were talking about it, I have subscribed and will hopefully be into the beta test. One of the questions they ask you, if you want to get into, I'm going to have to say Maru?
Sure.
MARU. If you want to get into the Maru loop, as they say, you got to join their community. And so I have. And I told them I've got a 5X, but I will buy a 5 if I get let in. So, yeah. So that's it looks nice. It's a no-brainer. Does a 5X have an SD card slot? Or does a 5, I mean?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay, so that would make it a lot smarter than using the 5X. For this, because that's one of the missing pieces of the 5X is an SD card slot.
Yeah, it says it works on Nexus 5, and if you scroll down, it says shared storage SD card data like camera photos are downloaded and shared, so you can coordinate your work seamlessly. So I'm guessing the SD card in Android is also going to be like a storage media in the desktop too,
Which is nice. I mean, you you're usually just dragging and dropping things over from one to the other anyway, or Amazoning and Dropboxing them to yourself off of your SD card to your desktop.
Right. And here's the thing, Eric. Here's one of my gimmicks. Okay, I use sometimes 50 gigs a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about I don't come close to violating anybody's usage policy because I use tethering right now to either tether to my Pi Top or tether to my Remix Ultra or to something else. Why not I have my Nexus 5 phone and I just plug it up to a screen when I get to work and I don't have to tether to anything else? I'm still using the same device.
Just do those things with your phone. Yeah.
Yeah, it will make me a little bit more quote unquote honest. Keep me honest, if you will.
That, you know, that's a great idea, Dor, because there's a lot of people. Well, I mean, I used to be one of those people. I had unlimited data without tethering. If I wanted tethering, that was an extra charge. I wonder if that would, if this would work for that. That's a good idea.
I don't know, but I'm signing up, and if they ask me, do I have a Nexus 5, I'm just going to lie and say yes.
Well, you should. Yes, you should say you have one.
Right. So I'm going to try to play with this. I really want to play with this, but we'll just wait and see if I actually can.
Does it say it's Debian that it runs? Yeah, Rockstable Debian Linux. Yeah.
And that's one of the things. I saw a good picture the other day. It was Ecuadorian turtles, the giant turtles. And what they had was they had like the turtle that was like 3 feet tall on the top of its shell. And then they had a bunch of little turtles around it. And all the little turtles around it had words on them. Ubuntu, Arch, OpenSUSE. And then the big gigantic turtle just had Debian on it. Because Debian is the granddad. Debian is the one that's been around forever. Debian is the one that is truly community-based. Debian is the one not controlled by a company. Debian is the one that works on the most hardware. Debian is the one that is closest to completely free software, open source, friendly. It isn't, but it's really close.
Debian is the one that needs to do a little better job on marketing because everybody thinks Ubuntu is Linux.
Yeah, well, and Ubuntu does try to say they are Linux, and, you know.
So yeah, but I mean, if you go up to any average Windows user and ask them if they've heard of Debian, and then they'll say, huh? Or ask them have you heard of Ubuntu? They're going to say yes.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, things come and they go, ebbs and tides. No, this is a good find, Dor. I hope you get in, and I hope you get to buy a Nexus 5 to use it with. Will a Nexus 5 work on your carrier? Can you put your SIM card in a Nexus 5 and do what you're saying?
Nice. Nexus 5 will work on anything, and almost anything works on T-Mobile.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to bring an app real quick, and then we will move into some. Well, we'll bring one. I'll do an app. You brought that thing that was cool, so that doesn't count as an app. I'll bring an app real quick, and then we will have your app, and then we'll go do some email. We got a lot of emails. Thank you so much, guys, for the emails. I need to find my browser window so I can paste this in here. And so this is just a quick little game, real super easy to play. This is called MMX Hill Climb by Hutch Games. Basically, it's kind of like the Excitebike, I guess, kind of the Trials type motorcycle games where you're just hitting gas and brake and going over hills and cliffs and things without flipping over or crashing. They do say that you can play against other people.
Right.
You know, I don't ever do that. I don't know why. I mean, all these games are offering it, and I just never take them up on it. Maybe because I don't.
All these games stress it. They like stress people in avatar and pictures of real people. I don't know why, but they all seem to stress that fact. And to me, I don't care. That has nothing to do with gameplay. And apparently, a bunch of childish people like to "quote unquote" beat their friends, is what I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't.
No, but if you notice, you remember when we did the toilet paper thing? I didn't partake in that either.
You didn't? You didn't do toilet paper roll with
no,
us?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't because I knew I was going to completely suck and not come close to winning because Turbino was taking it way too serious. And so was Sean. So I figured I'll be the dork that just doesn't participate.
Yeah. Well, I think the way gaming is now, everybody's online. You know, everybody's got the PlayStation account and the Xbox Live account, and they're always. Honestly, my son's. That's, you know, that when we were teens, there was the teen line. All the hip people had a teen line, so you could call their house and not have to talk to their parents. It would go straight like to to their bedroom. That's the new teen line. He gets on. He talks to his friends over Xbox Live while they're hanging out playing a game. That's what they do. I mean, they don't have phones. They don't do anything.
Yeah.
I think girls, you still have to do like Facebook with girls and stuff because they're not gamers, but not all of them are.
Right. I'll say, I wish they would just like show a solid camera view and not have Was it J.J. Abrams, the guy who can't leave the camera alone for like 3 seconds?
I think so.
Has to keep changing camera views.
And sunbursts. And, you know.
Yeah. I wish they would just show like a good 10-second one view, because this does not look bad. Okay. The graphics I like. They're kind of cool.
If you look at the screenshots and not the video, that is your right. That's your camera angle.
Right. And to be honest, I kind of like that camera angle. This is a la the new, quote-unquote, Excitebike that was available on the Wii and the Wii U, I believe, through the online store, where it's a side, slightly behind, 3D track with two tracks right next to one another, yep. Identical tracks, and you're racing. Looks like you only have two things, gas and brake, but I'm also sure you have tilt.
No,
forward and back.
No.
Or gas makes you tilt?
Makes you tilt. Brake will make you tilt forward. Gas makes you tilt back. Yep.
Yeah, see, I can get behind this at least a little bit. The only thing I don't like is when in the video they show you having to upgrade your car.
I've not upgraded my car. And this is, there's no finish line. This is the whoever makes it the longest without blowing up, unless I'm that bad that there was a finish line I just never saw. But it counts meters, so it tells you how far you went, and it shows you your farthest meter that you went. There's no forgiving. There's no exit. Oh, I messed up. I could flip over and I hit my bumper in the back. No, you blow up. You're done. And you went 200 meters. You're done.
Gotcha. Yeah, and it looks like there are four things you can. Upgrade, overall speed, acceleration, jumping maybe, and then it looks like speed of tilt.
Yeah, you know what? I did do one upgrade. I think I did. I don't know what I did. It might have been speed. Yeah, that I wasn't. I mean, it's like all these games. They like you beat a couple. You play it a couple times, and then like, oh, here's a surprise. Present for you. Open up the present and see what you get. Oh, there's 50 coins. Now you can go buy an upgrade.
I literally hate when I see that stuff.
I know, but that I think the game developers feel they have to do that now because somebody made money that way. I don't know if that's how they make all their money. I don't know, but it seems to be the way.
This is MMX Hill Climb by Hutch Games, E for Everyone, top developer, 38,000 reviews. It looks like about 4.5 stars, 4.6 stars. So this is heavily downloaded, heavily reviewed.
Does this not have any in-app purchases?
It does say in-app purchases.
Oh, it does. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And it has upwards of between 1 million and 5 million installs. I do believe when I look at the logo on the video, I do believe I did see this on the carousel as soon as I launch up Google Play once during the last week.
Yes, I'm sure that's where I found it. It was a popular game of the week or whatever. Yep.
Gotcha. Very cool, Eric.
Thank you, sir. What you got, Dor?
Okay, if you're going to let me bring an app, let me just do a quick... I'm going to have to go for the name recognition because I'm like bad like that. And see, I was going to bring Science Journal, but I'm not. And I'm definitely not bringing Spaces from Google because everybody forgot about that in less than a week. What I'm going to bring is, it's a game that's going to do more than meets the eye.
Ooh, must be GoBots.
Yeah, exactly. it's called Transformers Earth Wars. Now, if you saw the newer Transformers game, I believe it was on PlayStation, possibly.
I saw the video for it, and it looked really awesome. I remember that.
Unbelievably awesome. Unfortunately, this is not that game.
Oh, all right.
but it is Transformers, technically. It is officially branded Transformers, so you do see stuff like Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and everybody else. You do have Megatron. You do have everything else. This is much closer to being a real-time strategy war type game where you have to build up your you have to build up your headquarters, build up your town, build up your walls, build up your army, build up your attack, and you basically go to war. You can be good guys or bad guys, but you are Transformers, and you do shoot, bang, bang. You do transform in the game, and there is some sorts of upgrades that I'm really not clear about. I played it for at least a little bit, and the nostalgia factor alone was playable. That was made me stick with it for at least a little bit.
This, and I'll speak for Mark since he's not here, this is not a game that I think Mark and I are into. This is like the Aces of Empires kind of... there's a name for this game, right? This type of game.
Well, it's a real-time strategy, like a war game. It's like old CNC, Command and Conquer.
Okay, yeah.
Basically. And if there is an actual name for the format of game, I do not know what that is.
Because I think Plants vs. Zombies is loosely in this genre.
They say it's a strategy game. Plants vs. Zombie is a very... That to me, it's a slow...
It's on the tip of our tongue, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is, again, Transformers Earth Wars Backflip Studios Strategy E for Everyone. Does have some sort of in-app purchases. I'm sure it's upgrades. Now, see, this is very new. This is a very new game. I'm very sure of it. 5,700 reviews, 4.3 average rating, between 50,000 and 100,000 downloads. It's at version 0.25. So, yes, this is quite new here. Good. 61 megs, not too big. If you're a Transformers fan whatsoever and you like the old Command & Conquer type real-time strategy, build up your little base, expand, you know.
So you got to pick at the beginning if you were Decepticons or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Of course, gotta be Autobots.
Well, yeah. I'm just wondering, you know. That's cool. All right, well, we'll get into some emails, too. Because we got a few. And if I find my emails. Okay, we will go with... I'm just going to go right down the list here. This is an email from Dennis Thompson. And Dennis says, "Hello, gentlemen. Great job on the podcast. I heard on one of your shows a while..." Oh, wait, this is what we're going to hold off on. We're going to wait on Dennis. Sorry, Dennis. Next one. This is from Andrew Black. And his subject is Cell Game. "You guys need to check out the game Cell by the same guys who do Snake.io. Snake.io, by the way. Thank you for bringing that to my life, Dor. That's really cool. Basically, if you didn't hear that show, it's the old Snake, but it's a massively multiplayer online experience where you're playing Snake with a bunch of other people, and you can run into yourself, but you don't want to get eaten by your friends or by anybody else. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you got to start out small if you get eaten. But anyway, okay, Cell is by the same guys who do that. It's very similar in gameplay, except you're a cell eating smaller ones. It has more features as well, like being able to split into multiple cells. I always enjoy the show, even though installed the apps on my iPhone." Oh, you know, a lot of them are cross-platform. That's fine. We're totally cool with you listening to the show and installing them on your iPhone. "Battery 80%. See, look at that iPhone battery just keeps going, man. Well, thank you, Andrew, for the app suggestion. We will check this out. Wasn't the game Spore? Wasn't there a Spore game that was like cells where you would grow your organism by eating others in the world?
There was two. There was one called Osmosis or Osmo, something like that. That was on the Humble Bundle like 2 years ago that you brought.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was really good. And then we did bring at least one or two other games semi like it. I will say this is a developer that already has credit. So, you know.
Yeah. And this is by Amelos Interactive. This, though, remember the other one was kind of like this where it had the numbers on the cells like that kind of told you how big they were?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, yeah.
And it is Cell, C-E-L.
Yes,
Only one L. Does have some sort of in-app purchases, free to download. 17,000 reviews, about up to a million installs. So this is definitely at least a little bit popular.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, thanks for the app suggestion. We will check this out. We got another email from Paul Edgett. He says, "Hello, AAA crew. I've recently turned off email notifications for my work email. I've spent the last 2 years gradually going insane with the thought..." I'm sorry. I've got the... I've, I've got this coughing thing.
Is it the suds?
Yeah, well, I got this coughing thing, and it almost seems like I'm laughing at people because I just cough. I don't know. I'm not laughing at you, Paul. Okay, I've recently turned off email notifications for my work email. I've spent the last 2 years gradually going insane with the thought that I have to be on call 24/7. I've realized that is not the case and want to separate work from home on one device. What I would like to do is to turn on email notifications during work hours since I'm not always at the desk all day. I thought one of you guys may have seen an app that would do this, but I'm not opposed to a more indirect route via geolocation or scheduling with a broader app, something like Automate It, but without turning off all notification sounds. Thanks, everyone. Your loyal patron, Paul, battery 76%. See, now that's just barely under the iPhone for the battery. So
barely.
He must have a nice phone.
And thank you for the Patreon support, Paul.
Yes, thank you.
I have a very, I guess, old school solution to this. And it's very nitty gritty. There's no apps needed. If it's just an email that he wants to enable or disable notifications for, all you really have to do, at least in my experience, is you download a new email application, whether it be Cloud Magic, Blue Mail. I mean, there's a billion of them out there. Download it, configure that one for your work email. When you get into work, you launch the app and then exit out of the app. And then when you leave work, you force quit the application. When I know when I force quit my application like that, I will not start getting notifications for it until I forcibly go back and restart it.
That is very rudimentary. Now, honestly, Paul only emailed us this question 9 hours ago, and I was on my mower for 2 of those 9 hours. So I don't really have not looked into it. I personally turn off all my notifications all during work hours, but I'm usually in front of my computer, so I'm taking work emails as they come in. But I totally, in the words of Idiocracy, I totally supersize with you, dude, on not checking emails when you're off work, because I've been there, and I'm in the same place. I try not to. I've not got to the point where I won't do it, though. It's just because certain things happen to my job that I really need to keep it on, I feel, maybe.
Right.
None of us get paid enough to really do that, though, do we, Dor? I mean, unless you're actually getting paid on call time. Oh, some people get paid on call time.
I wouldn't know, because for 20 years now, the deal has been I am never on call. I never work after hours. I never work on a weekend. That's the deal.
That's the deal.
That's why I can do pod nuts, because that's been the deal the whole time. And the reason really to shoot the reels with you here.
All right. Let's bring it to
me. It's because my dad, when I was young, literally worked 80 hours a week for 20 plus years. He was the guy who held 2 full-time jobs, went to college, graduated college to become a police officer in Baltimore City to support the family. And then he worked 40 hours in the police force, and then he worked 40 hours as security guards or something else the rest of the time to make money.
Wow.
Me no want to do that to my kids. Not that he did anything bad. I thank him for his years of service and all the support we got from him. We were able to eat food and have cable television. I was happy. And we went on real vacations quite frequently, actually. But I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I will not do that. Period. So 40 hours a week, and then I'm done. I'm not going to work anymore. If I go into my normal app notifications, I'm sorry, if I go into my normal settings menu under sound and notification, if I scroll down, there's app notifications, and then you can pick any app you want, and you can see you can block or allow access. So this tells me, just because it is right there, there's no reason why you cannot have an app with a schedule that will turn on or off that. So I'll look for one, and if I find one, I'll shoot him an email back, and if it's good, we'll bring it back next week or something. I don't think you need to go the route of task, or I don't think you need to pull out the nuclear option on this.
Yeah, and if any of the listeners have an idea for Paul between now and next week, throw us an email, let us know, or hit us up on Google Plus or something. And Paul, we got you, man. We will figure this out for you. If Dor's already figured out one way, but if we can't find a more seamless way for you, we'll see. We can see if we can come up with something for you that way. All right.
Very cool. Okay, which one do you want to do next?
I just messed up my email, so
oh,
I will take a look here again.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I had them all. Had them all loaded up in. We'll go with Todd here.
Okay.
Oh, Todd's got two. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Hey guys. This is Todd Evans, longtime listener and supporter of the show. We thank you, Todd. Hey guys, I just wanted to share the Lens Launcher app with y'all. It has a fisheye lens-like UI. As you drag your finger around your page of apps, the fisheye lens follows your touch. If you have a reasonable amount of apps, door not included, you can see all of them on a single page, albeit rather tiny. Something different that someone might find is their new go-to launcher. Keep up the great shows, and as always, a gentle nudge to my fellow listeners to support the show at patreon.com. Todd, thank you. Also another Patreon supporter. You guys are awesome. Thank you for that. And yes, Todd, I'm with you, man. I want to try this app. This was another one that was just not too long ago he sent us in, and I haven't had a chance to try it, but I am one. I would love to have all of my apps on one page. And I used to shrink them down so much that I could do two pages. I could never really get it down, shrunk down to one page. But if I could do two pages when I had like some kind of a ROM that would let me change the grid size of my app drawer, I would always try to get it, shrink the size of the apps to keep them smaller. How about you, Dor?
A part of me really, really likes what I'm seeing in the video for this app. I'm not going to lie. There's some, I don't know, satisfaction of being able to, on one screen, literally see, you know, 100+ applications, and then as you drag your finger around, have it like a selective zoom.
Wow. Adore. I hadn't looked at this video before. This is much better than I had expected by reading that email.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say when I thought of fisheye lens, I thought the edges would be all curved and weird, you know, it'd be hard to see what was next to it. I get his fisheye lens reference because everything zooms in where your finger is, but it's very legible, and this looks like a very usable launcher. I'm impressed, man.
Yeah, and I think it would just be this is by androidexperiments.com, which is basically, you know, showing off features, functionality that some people might not be aware of, kind of thing. So take that with a grain of salt, kind of thing. I still, and this is really cool, I think, to show off to people, you know, what can you do on your phone, kind of thing, as an example. But I really do think there is some, at least, level of functionality here. I like this. I'm going to install it. I don't know if I'm going to use it. I don't know if it's functional, but I once in a while, I'm going to like to load it and just drag my finger around and go, you know.
Now, I'm going to install it. I gotta say, I like the Google Now launcher. So I hope it's. I wish this was just an app drawer. You know, I want to keep my Google Now experience where I swipe to the right and see Google Now. That's my only holdback on this. But I'm gonna install it and find out, and then I can always, if I don't like it, I can always uninstall it because I have freedom because I'm on Android.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly have not loaded for a while now. Gel settings,
right?
Where that was when you have root, you can customize the Google Now launcher. Because if you could replace that app drawer button, that's all you would need to do, right? Just take out the app drawer button and put in this button, Lens Launcher, and then it basically is your app drawer.
Well, is Lens Launcher an app that launches your app drawer, or is it a launcher for your whole phone? Like a, you know,
it to me looks like an app that you click and launch, and then if you can replace that button on your app drawer with an icon for that app, it would appear like and act like an app drawer. That's what I'm sticking with. That's my story.
Well, you know what? I just installed it, so let's see how it works. Loading apps. So I hit the button in the top right. Oh yeah, see, this is a launcher. It takes over your whole phone. Which, you know, I mean, so it makes it a lot more like an iPhone now, because all my apps are on one screen, and now I've got the fisheye lens working with it. But I mean, it's that easy to customize somebody's phone on Android. That's what I love about Android. I just turned it into basically a really fancy, cool iPhone with all my apps on one page, which is surprising. You know, actually, if I had one more app, well, I maybe unless it auto grids, maybe if I had five more apps, the grid would change slightly so that they'd still be on one page. I'd be interested to see what it does with yours, Dor, if you could, if when you install this, it gets like 300 apps on one page, because my apps seem like they're about the same size as what's on that on the lens launcher home screenshots.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like about the same grid, but I just wonder if I don't know how many apps you have installed right now, Dor. I have less than I normally do because the bad thing about the 5X, it doesn't have a ton of space.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I turned my brightness all the way down, but it is blue, unfortunately, which means it's not going to look
right to
a lot of the listeners. But
are they all on one page?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, mine is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 across. And I believe on the screenshot shown in the store, theirs is only 6 across. And I am right now, being hyperactive about removing apps when I'm not using them. Speaking of that, Eric, really quick side tangent. Did you hear about one of the new Google features that they're going to be probably experimenting with?
No. And mine's 6 across, by the way.
When you go to install an app and you're low on space, instead of just returning an error saying you don't have enough disk space, it's going to show you what apps you don't use that much, how much space you would gain from uninstalling the apps to help you handhold through the process of getting rid of stuff taking up space on your phone. Now, for lower-end phones or for children, I see that being a fantastic feature.
Yeah, you know, I guess I did hear about that, but I didn't realize that's when the trigger would come up. I thought you could just go like into your uninstall program or your application manager, and it would tell you which ones you didn't use much and tell you which ones you should kind of get rid of. Since we're talking about things that Google's going to be doing, did you hear about the Nexus 5X and Nexus 6? Well, maybe Nexus 5, Dor.
I don't think
the Google Photos, how you get unlimited high quality photos now. If you're a Nexus owner, not only will you get the high quality, you'll get the original quality unlimited photos on Google stored.
Oh, like
stored
raw,
for you.
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be one reason you would never need an SD card in your phone.
I agree, but also to me, this is almost inevitable. Google was the first one to offer a lot of stuff. Google was the one that is forcing other companies to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Google's been offering free, unlimited pictures as long as they were small. To me, it's only a matter of time. As soon as they did that, the clock was ticking. Tick, 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 to the day where they say, we don't care about the size of the picture. Just upload your pictures. It's all free. And so now that part is starting. Now that's going to make it so the indie, the starting out, the amateur, the fun photographer is now thinking, if they know anything, now if I get this, that means instantly everything's going to be backed up. And because it's a Nexus device, especially if you get Fi type things, nudge, nudge, know what I mean, you're always going to be on Wi-Fi a lot of the times, which means you'll be able to quickly upload everything in native format. That, to me, is going to start making people, I think, look at it a little bit more serious. Where before Nexus was just a reference device, now it looks like they're actually trying to set it apart.
Right, and it wasn't like that the user had to in any way change the size or format of their pictures. Google would automatically downsize them to the size that they were going to save for you, which, in my opinion or my experience, has been plenty big for me. I mean, I'm not a photographer in any way. It's way better than all the pictures I used to take on my BlackBerry or any other phone I used to have, you know, back in the day. And honestly, most of the digital cameras I had purchased before I got smartphones, these high quality supposedly, are still way better looking than anything I used to take back then, you know, when I got away from film cameras.
Right. I believe it. Can we have another one here from Todd, I believe?
Yeah. And Todd says, hey guys, came across a Flappy Bird style game that is graphically interesting. I don't game that often, and particularly don't do Flappy Bird style. But this one was well done enough to share. They call the graphic style paper theater. I haven't heard the term before, but as I said, I'm not much of a gamer. Hopefully, I will have provided someone out there their new favorite game. Quick promo from Hump. Oh, okay, so we'll talk about this real quick, and then we'll talk.
Okay, well, really quick, first off, the developer name is Salad Gamer. That right there gets extreme bonus points.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
If I had to give this a style, at least from what I'm looking at really quick, South Park style.
Yeah, yeah. Or
that's what I would call it.
Or was it when Material started? You know, when, I don't know, was it Lollipop or Marshmallow? Didn't they do like their backgrounds? Google did all their backgrounds, kind of this paperish 3D kind of thing, where there's, you know, a piece of paper with shadows behind it, and another piece of paper with shadows behind it, and a background behind everything. I remember some, sure. Yeah, some kind of
It was definitely like this. I know that.
Yeah, but yeah, it's definitely. I mean, it looks like people cut up pieces of paper and laid them out graphically on here. Yeah, thanks, Todd. I will check that game out. You don't have to dodge your bird through pipes. It looks like you actually have to miss things in the environment, which is a little nicer, too.
Well, it looks like you have to, the top looks opened. The bottom, you're over water, so you have buoys and boats and stuff. It looks like your goal is to get close to them without hitting them. And you get hearts. Once you get enough hearts, it looks like you make it past the stage. So it's Flappy Bird-esque in the sense of you tap and that makes you go up.
Yeah.
And then you slowly start to fall and you're always moving forward. I definitely like the looks of this game. I'll say that. Very stylized is what I'll say.
Yeah, it's it will be somebody's favorite game, Todd. You're right. So he says, a quick promo from a humble listener to get other listeners to contribute to AAA at patreon.com. If you get some value from listening to this show like I do, give some value back. It won't break the bank and will help keep our hosts coming back week after week. Keep up the great show, guys. Battery at 100%. Wow.
Mm.
This must have been first thing in the morning. He must have came up with this email, right? Because he's still charging.
And that explains the good positive attitude. But thank you again, Todd. And yes, if you want to support us, there is no easier way than directly supporting us by going to Patreon, which is not directly, but it's as close as you can get.
Yeah, we love our Patreon patrons. Thank you, Todd Evans. And if we can do anything but read your emails and help you out in any way, let us know. I mean, you got us, we got you. It's kind of that kind of thing.
Kind of like Sonny and Cher?
I didn't say babe.
Okay, that I'm Sonny.
No, yeah, you would be. You would be, sure. Just take that before I get even a chance. Okay, I'm Barbara Streisand.
Oh, no.
I'm Mega Mega Streisand. Look out.
Okay. We do have a couple more emails.
Let's keep going before we... Yeah, we can't talk about South Park all day. Even though we could probably... Honestly, Dor, we probably could talk about South Park all day.
No, we can't.
All right. Soham Bapst... I'm sorry. Soham Bapat said, hi, guys. I was just reviewing an app called Tictures. TICTURES. And I wasn't sure if it had been featured on the show or not. It seems familiar, so it might have been. Basically, it's a neat little app that allows you to send text emojis. Although we do have proper emojis on Android, it's pretty useful for sites like Reddit. Sorry, I got this cough, man. It's free with a small ad. I just wanted to send this email actually really quick before the show. Not sure exactly what time you record, but I hope to send a link to the article that'll be up on the website soon. If you could link that article, I'd really appreciate it. Keep up the good work. And I read his article. I'm sorry. Man, I'm sorry, everybody, for that. I read his article, and it's something I totally forgot about back when, and I was always impressed when people would make these flowery, huge things across the screen with ASCII characters or text, and I never knew how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's basically just combinations, very, very deliberate combinations of dashes, underlines, pluses, equals, hard brackets, soft brackets, slash, backslash, colon, semicolon, all those in. But they're actually coming out when you're when you're pacing these things into, like, everyone's seen the guy holding his hands up, like, shrugging his shoulders one. It seems like I've been seeing that one a whole lot. But it's like emojis before emojis, which is old ASCII just characters. But if you go through, like, the arts and pictures, they even have, like, SpongeBob, and it's like one, two, three, four, five, six, seven or eight lines long. And it really does look like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of them like this. Would you like to go for a walk with a dog? And it's a dog running, and it's very clearly a dog running. Yeah, somebody took their time to put these together. So good job on them.
Yeah, it almost looks like some. It looks like somebody drew them, you know, and then, I don't know. It looks like the high one. I don't even see the characters in that, but you know, and I bet they probably, well, I guess I know they did. Back in the day, I remember the very first computer graphic I ever saw printed out was off of a TRS-80, and it was the ZZ Top Eliminator car. And it had just the very front, but it was dot matrix, but I believe it might have been ASCII even back then. Like, somehow they had a scanner, and they took a picture and somehow inputted this thing into it, and it spit out the ASCII version of whatever picture they had. Somebody had that going on. So that would have been the really super complicated version, and we dumbed it down a little bit for these. But I'm not on Reddit much, so I don't know how often these are used in their door. You are always in Reddit, so do people use it a lot?
I'm unfortunately on Reddit a lot. It's in different phases. It's you know, it comes and goes, but sometimes it seems like it's in there a hell of a lot. I would say that.
Okay.
But you know, they're cool. I like to take, like, the one that looks like, I'm thinking it almost looks like a Minecraft zombie-ish thing with, like, big teeth. I'm gonna download this and, like, randomly send it to my son just to see if he, like, freaks out, like, oh my god, that's awesome! How did you do that?
Yeah, you could be a hero, man. The SpongeBob one? Is that what you're doing?
No, he's a little bit old for SpongeBob.
Old for SpongeBob?
He's old for SpongeBob.
I don't think I'm old.
He says,
I don't think I'm old for SpongeBob. He says it's for babies. Really?
Hey, I'm just repeating. Yeah, he says it's for babies.
So what's he into?
YouTube, Minecraft.
Oh, okay. So
the only really television he'll actually sit down and watch is either Goosebumps. When I was completely freaked out when I saw Jack Black is in Goosebumps.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Jack Black's kids are growing up and he's doing content specifically for their age bracket, but I remember Tenacious D, and I don't think that being kid-friendly.
No.
That, and he will still watch Teen Titans Go.
Sure. So if he's into YouTube, do they have a Miranda Sings emoji that you could?
No, I'm sure he has no idea who that is.
How about, what is it?
And you deserve to cough when you say that name.
Something in Phil. I can't remember what the other guy's name is. Anyway, okay.
No, I'm sure he doesn't know who that person is either, because all he watches is game videos. He doesn't watch YouTube for comedy or anything else, just games.
Is PewDiePie still a guy?
I think so, but as far as I'm concerned, he can die, because I watched like 5 seconds of him and I thought, the people are worrying about Trump might get elected or Hillary might get elected. I'm worried about people who watch that.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just me.
Okay. So we got another email from Julian Overall. It says, hi, all. Quick email to tell you about a game my son, the gamer, has been enjoying. It's called El Loco by Big S Games. Probably ideal for standing in line. It really tests your reactions. Man, dude. I swear, Dor, I did not start smoking cigars. Essentially, you chop down an endless cactus and avoid getting squashed by branches or running out of time. Loads of characters and chopping styles to add some fun. Mariachi music accompanies the action, and he gives us a link by Felix on El Loco in a YouTube video. So is Felix one of the guys that he watches for gaming?
I have no idea. Is Felix British? Because I keep hearing British accents.
So he's watching Dan and Phil.
If they do Minecraft videos, then there's a chance.
They might. They're pretty funny. Does he laugh a lot?
No, my youngest laughs like he just killed somebody and he's on a movie as an evil mastermind.
So this,
and I don't know what he's watching.
So, so this game is, there's a big cactus, and it's one of the, I don't know what kind of, I don't know my cactuses, Theodore.
It's a cactus.
It's the cactus with the arms that stick out the sides. And basically you shoot at the cactus and you knock a section of it out with your gun. And then, so the cactus falls down a little bit, but if there's an arm on that side, you got to get over to the other side where there's not an arm. Is that a good descriptive word for the things that stick out the side of a cactus as an arm?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's exactly what you do.
There's like green, there's cactus branches sticking above your head or on the other side, and as you're cutting it down, you just got to make sure it doesn't fall on your head.
Yeah. I wonder if it shoots as fast as you shoot and you run out of time.
Something tells me time is very important in this game, but I'm also afraid the sound of the mariachi band, like, doesn't help. You know what I mean? Like, if you have it on and you're listening, it might, like, you know, hurt your results.
Felix is not British, by the way.
Well, I guess good. I don't know.
Felix is speaking in Spanish. So that the video he sent us. So that's not the Felix. That's not the guy your son's watching as far as gaming goes.
Right, and I'm looking at a video now. This thing is really fast. Like as fast as you're tapping, stuff is
right. Well, that's what I was wondering, if you can shoot or cut the cactus down as fast as you want, or is it at a certain pace on its own? If it's auto firing for you,
now, as fast as you can go.
So you swipe right, swipe left, and tap. Is that what you're thinking?
You tap right or tap left. If you tap left, you're on the left side of it. Tap right, you're on the right side.
Okay, so the shooting of the cactus, you don't think you have to any part in that?
When you're tapping, you are also chopping. So you're moving to the side and chopping, moving to the side and chopping.
Oh, so if you want to stay on the left side, you just keep hitting left.
Yes.
If you're already on the left. I gotcha. Okay. Exactly. All right. Well.
And at least one of the characters is Zorro, which is confusing, but hey, let's just roll with it.
Well, thank you, Julian, thank you for the email, Julian. And he says, take it easy, Brellas. So, do you remember the time I was in a random town and I saw a restaurant that said Bella's and I took a picture of it? That was before we knew Bella's was like...
Yeah, that was...
It was in Mount Carroll.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Mount Carroll this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I went on that same block. Huh? No more Bella's. It's something else now. So I'm glad I snapped that picture and printed it out and mailed it to everybody.
Bella's is the place me and Steve lied and said you were in San Diego. Or no, San Francisco. I can't remember what you were doing. You were doing something.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so I'm glad I took a picture of Bella's while it was there, even though we don't use Bella's. And thank you. Julian got it right as Brellas, so that's cool.
Yeah, good man.
Someday we need to bring the band back. We have to have a Brellas meetup and get Steve and Sean back on here. Good luck. The whole Brellas.
Good luck with that. You better have money available. They ain't showing up. They both say that they're too busy.
Well, they probably are. That's probably true.
And Steve will just complain the whole time about how my editing sucks and how the audio sucks.
Is that it? I don't think it does, Storm. Is that it? I think that might be it for emails. Do you want to bring another app to the show before we end up?
Well, do you have one more you want to bring?
No, but you've got. I mean, I've got some apps, but
let me just do one.
Yeah. Why don't you empty a little tank there?
I'm not going to really go crazy. I'm just going to bring like two of them here.
Yeah.
This first one is it's a number three in the series. Game Studio Tycoon. The first one, I believe the first one, it might have been the second one, I showed it to my oldest son, and I showed him the ins and outs and how to do it, and he fell in love with the mechanics of it and how you had to do certain things, and there were so many choices with different types of games and everything, and how some of them did good, some of them did bad. He played it for a good long time.
Oh, that's cool. That's an educational game.
To a degree, it is educational. Now they have the Game Studio Tycoon 3. There's a lot more things that go into the creation of your game and your game company. And the only thing coming to mind is Silicon Valley, Pied Piper. But
man, I was just thinking that too when I was looking at this. I was looking at the screenshots. Does Dorn know that the guy from Silicon Valley is going to be in Ready Player One movie?
Yeah. So if you like the owning of a company simulator, honestly, this is a good game. Now, this is $3.99, but I will tell you right now, if you like the idea of business simulation type of thing, you will like this. I think it's very appropriately named Game Studio Tycoon because it does remind me of those tycoon games from like, 10 years ago or so, I'd say.
That's the rate. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't get into this. Would be too much of a time suck for me. I don't think I could ever find time to play this game. Some people were complaining about game saves being lost. This is the kind of game you don't want your game save to get lost on.
Well,
That would be sad.
you don't, but I will say it is brand spanking new.
Oh,
Version
yeah.
1.0.6, only 100 to 500 installs. I really do believe this came out less than a week ago. It came out like a couple of days ago, I believe.
And the developers answering all of the questions too. So, he's asking for emails and how to replicate problems. So yeah, he's on it. Okay, that's cool. I didn't realize it was that new.
Okay, I'm gonna bring one more here, Eric.
Sure.
I'm a fan of this for years in all kinds of different formats. I think of this as a snooze button for notifications. Okay, it's called Boomerang Notifications by Moby Sco, Moby Sock. Sorry, Moby Sock. CU, Smartest Tools. E for everyone. Completely free. No in-app purchase. Only 31 reviews. Which is uncommonly low, is what I'm going to say. 4.5 stars, only between 500 and 1,000 installs, version 1.0. So this is another one, brand spanking new. When you swipe away a notification, another notification is immediately filled by it that will sit there for like 5 or 10 seconds. And it will give you the option if you want to either just ignore it and it will just disappear, or you can click save or save and the member. So you can say, I want this reminder permanently now written down in the book of record. Okay. Or you can just say, save it. And then what happens is you can go into the Boomerang app and you can see what notifications you either saved forever or what notification that you just saved for later kind of thing. To me, this is really useful. Hypothetically, you're in a meeting, somebody like, I send you a link, Eric, and you can tell by just looking at it, I got to look at this right now. This could be really cool. Let me swipe away the notification, click save, and still go look at it really quick and close it. But then later I can remember, oh yeah, I got to go back and look at this again kind of thing. To me, that's what it's really for. It's to remember to go back and look at something after the fact.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good idea. I can definitely see the use case for that. Because most of the time I will not get back to it, and then a couple days go by, and then Dora's like, "Hey, did you check out that thing I sent you?" "Oh, yeah, totally. No, I didn't. What'd you send me?"
Right. And it does have built in, you can say save it just for later, save it for tomorrow, or save it and bring it back at a specific date. So you can actually have it come back to you tomorrow, the next day, or a very specific date in the future. So I like that a lot. Hypothetically, somebody sends me a text and the wife says, "Don't forget you have to put in a leave sheet tomorrow to take the kid to the dentist." Oh, okay. Save it until tomorrow at noon. So then at noon, I see, oh yeah, put out a leave sheet so I can give the impression that I'm competent and I did remember to put in that leave sheet.
Hey, that's what a smartphone's for,
Supposed to be,
making us
yes.
smart.
Right. So I'm a fan of this. I did install it literally just yesterday. At least once my battery literally went completely cuckoo. I mean, bonkers. I do have Ampere installed, which is the battery monitor tool that we brought a while ago,
Right.
where now you can do a little desktop home screen widget
Oh,
right on
cool.
your screen where it can show you it's charging or discharging and what the number is, how many milliamps. And I was watching this thing. I had my phone plugged in to my cigarette lighter,
Okay.
doing GPS coming home, and when I went to the home screen and looked, I lost 80% of my battery in like the hour trip home, where typically I'll gain at least 20%, 10 to 20% battery. And when I looked at my discharging number, my charging number, it was negative. I don't know. I don't think it was the Boomerang app. I think there was basically just something else on my phone going completely berserker. So I'll tell everyone, if you do install Boomerang notifications and you see any fluctuation with battery usage, go ahead, uninstall it and see if it goes back. Because I only saw it today once.
Did you only see this on the way home, or
Yeah,
was it
on the
during
way
the?
home from work.
Because you have a bad USB
No.
cigarette lighter adapter? Okay.
Nope. I mean, it's been working fine for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It worked fine earlier today twice because I drove to work and then I drove home from a work conference, or I drove from work conference to pick up my wife, and it was working fine that whole time. But then going home from there is when it just went crazy.
I've recently had some unexpected slowness with my 5X, and I have not pinpointed it either. Where things were just to the point I just had to turn it off, and restart it. I'm not used to that, but it's usually been, I can't say it's the fastest in the world, but it's usually been spunky enough to keep up with me. But
Gotcha.
I think they're just making me itch because they might be bringing out some new Nexuses, and this is how they make me itch harder before it. All right. Well, thank you guys for all those emails, and thank you for the Patreon to all the Patreon supporters, the ones who write in, and the ones who don't. And I especially like the ones who write in who encourage the other listeners, like, hey, if you haven't given anything on Patreon, just give it to them. What the heck? It's summertime, man. We all need to have a good summer. So, it's summertime here. It's like 80s, so that's nice. Finally, we've got the pool set up. Dor, you got any big plans this summer? You got anything going on?
Stay indoors as much as possible and don't get skin cancer.
That's a good plan. I'm gonna probably do the opposite of that and hopefully still not get skin cancer. Do you have anything else you want to say to the people before we end off?
No, just thanks for the support. Thanks for the downloads. Thanks for the Patreon support. Todd, explicitly, thank you for asking people to support us on Patreon. You're the man, Todd. If there is conferences anywhere near you that are at all computer, IT, Android, Linux, or anything focused you think Podnuts should be interested in, let me know. I might go.
How about a Microsoft cloud
Probably
conference?
not.
Oh, okay.
There's no such thing as a Microsoft conference. Don't let them fool you. There's only sales
You're
meetings.
right. Oh, you're so. I went to one, and yes, you're right. Absolutely, that is not what I signed up for. I went paid for parking. I did get a Microsoft water bottle out of it, I think,
No. Here's how you
and it
know.
was not. It was totally for sale.
It's when they offer you food, but then the split second they give you food, somebody starts talking over the loudspeaker. And it's like, what, I'm supposed to be eating my food. What's going on here? It's because they're busy. They won't stop trying to sell you something the entire time they have you in the area.
Yeah. I thought
That's when you know it's bad.
I was learning how to set up Office 365. That's the whole reason I drove in for that, and I hated it worse when I left. So, yeah, we Linux Fest Northwest was awesome. Dor does go to these conferences more than I do. If there's one close to you and you want to hang out with Dor, he will definitely hang out with you. Better eat your Wheaties if you want to keep up with this guy. All right, that's enough. I'll quit babbling. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.